There's an old African song that says when an old person dies, it's as if a library burns down. There's such a richness of family heritage in each person's life that is wasted if it isn't passed on to the next generation.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
One way of transferring this heritage to our children occurs when we tell stories to them, sharing about our faith, about our early family history, about the obstacles we overcame or failures we experienced, can bring a family together and give it a sense of identity. My great-grandmother helped to raise me when I was very young. And when I was just 3 or 4 years old, I remember her telling me stories about her life on the frontier. She'd tell me how she would sit in her log cabin at night and hear the mountain lions come down from the hillside. She'd tell me common, simple experiences about how different life was then. It wasn't a big production or a special story time set apart. It was just what we shared in the course of our spending time together throughout the year. The stories she told me then are just as vivid in my memory today. They helped open my mind to a love of history, a subject which still fascinates me to this day. The stories of your past, of your childhood, of your courtship with your spouse may not seem that interesting to you, but they can become precious gifts to your children. Share it with them.
Hear more at MyFamilyTalk.com.
Welcome to Family Talk.
What is the best way to develop the spiritual life of children? How can a mom or dad raise their children to become adults who passionately follow Christ? In a moment, Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Bruce Wilkinson will offer a straightforward guide to effective family devotions. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to wind the clock back and enjoy the conclusion of a classic interview between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and Dr. Bruce Wilkinson on how you can disciple your children into Christ-following adults. For those of you unfamiliar with Dr. Wilkinson, let me introduce him to you. He's a Christian teacher and author who has a Master's of Theology degree from Dallas Theological Seminary and a Doctorate in Divinity from Western Conservative Baptist Seminary. He has served on the Overview Committee for several versions of the Bible and is an expert on discipleship, especially as it relates to children. Before we get to the interview, let me remind you that this is the final week to take advantage of our one-of-a-kind May offer. There is nothing like being loved unconditionally and intimately, decade after decade, by someone who promises to be there with you for the rest of your days. And in my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, he shares the powerful and biblical insights for building a marriage that will not only last, but thrive. And right now, for every donation we receive this month, we'll say thank you by sending you not only the Love for a Lifetime book, but also the corresponding DVD from the brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. To stand with Family Talk on behalf of families, give today by clicking the link at drjamesdobson.org or call us 877-732-6825. Let's get to the program now. Here is my dad and Dr. Bruce Wilkinson on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
You know, when you come to the average person who attends Sunday morning church service, if you'd ask them after church, do you believe in the Bible? They say, yeah. Do you believe it has God's truth in it? Yes, I do. Do you read it every day? Well, I wish I had enough time. Hmm. And there's a lack of real belief that there is that much benefit to spending time in the Bible.
Yeah.
People don't think that the effort I'll give to dig it out of the Word of God on a regular basis will make any difference to me.
Now, Bruce, that's why I wanted you to come back and be with us today, because the last time we were together, you were talking about the 7 reasons that people find it difficult to have family devotions. And you've already touched on the first one, which was the lack of time and energy. How can we get around that? People do perceive themselves as having the lack of time and energy.
That's really true, Jim. But recently in our home, I got an unexpected telephone call from a friend who said, how would you like to go deep sea fishing in my boat? And I said, when? He said, next weekend. And I had already other things planned personally. And he said, I'll fly up in my own plane, pick you and your son up, take you down to my boat and take you off, and I guarantee you'll catch fish. My son loves to fish. I love to catch fish.
I bet you made the time.
I made the time, but yeah. I didn't have the time. In other words, what's important to a person is what they do.
Yeah. And you do make commitments in your work and in your social life Why are we so reluctant to make those kind of commitments in our family devotion time?
Well, Jim, I don't know if you're going to like the answer or not, but I believe we're reluctant to make commitments to family devotions because that's not what we really feel is important. It's
it
not
must,
a value.
It must be true, because if it was important, we would do it.
That's right. It really is. You always do what you want to do.
You once said, Bruce, that you felt it was sinful to have that attitude. Do you really believe that?
I believe that the passage in the Scripture in Deuteronomy 6, which says to teach your children diligently the Scripture, would kind of say to me and most people that that's to be a regular, specific time of training that I, as a parent, am responsible to do to my children.
And it'd fall into the category of training up the child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. You can't train him up in that way if you never talk about it.
That's right. In fact, Better Homes and Gardens polled 300,000 parents and asked them what they thought the greatest threat to the family was. And they said, an inattentive parent. An inattentive parent. And CT, Christianity Today, found out that the average father spends 3 minutes a day with their children and only 37 seconds with an infant that's in your home.
Isn't that incredible? All right, we're dealing with the seven big reasons people don't have family devotions. The first is the perceived lack of time and energy. What's the second?
The second is my children don't want them. It's the basic concept that, you know, my kids don't want to have family devotions. And it reminds me of something what Howie Hendricks once said. He said, nothing was more fulfilling nor frustrating than being a parent. When finally I was qualified, I was out of a job. Like anything with purpose, there comes a time when you're finished, for better or for worse, you've done what you've started out to do. And in weaker moments, he said, you may wish you could do it over, but only if you had your present quota of wisdom and insight.
What do you do, Bruce, when kids just sabotage devotions? You know, you say, okay, we're going to read the Bible now. And they say, oh, no, I have homework. I want to go to bed. I'm tired. Or I don't want to get up, which is a better answer in the morning or a more common one. What do you do?
Well, I think you really have to question your commitment to what you're trying to have them do. I have yet to find a child who says, I can't wait to make my bed. You know, and how committed am I to have my son and my daughter make their bed before they leave to school? I'm committed.
You just keep on. You do it whether they want to or not, right? You don't allow that to become an excuse or a reason.
That's right, because it's an incorrect expectation of a parent to think that the child will have the same values that you have.
Yeah.
And it's wrong to think that just because you think they ought to have the value system of wanting to have family devotions every day, that they're going to have the value system of having it.
All right, we come to item three, which you told me before is tougher, and that's that the spouse doesn't want them. What do you do there where you're not together as a husband and wife?
Usually the husband is a believer and the wife is a believer, but the husband starts it out and it goes for a few days and then it falls apart and then the wife gets frustrated and comes back and begins to nag on it and the husband doesn't know what to do. I really think what needs to happen is you need to creatively solve your problem in your family. Maybe you have family devotions once a week and you take something you know is a winner, like maybe you read the books on Narnia. Or maybe you read a book like Johnny, and maybe you read an exciting missionary biography, and you just have the father read it one chapter a night. When it's all said and done, he says to himself, you know, that wasn't too bad, and the kids kind of liked it.
That's a psychological principle called baby steps. Any new discipline, any new responsibility that's likely to be sabotaged by either others or your own lack of discipline can sometimes be overcome by taking little steps, but consistent steps in that direction. And you're making that suggestion.
I think another one that my wife learned about me, you know, the first hour I'm home, I'm absolutely worth nothing in that family. Yeah. And we used to try to have family devotions right after we got done eating. And, you know, I was tired when I walked in, and I just ate a big meal, and I'm tired. And we finally figured out, why don't we wait and have family devotions later in the evening, right before the kids go to bed? And so we plan it out, and you know what? I can then relax for a while, get my energy together, and I want to have family devotions.
What's the fourth barrier to family devotions?
The fourth barrier happens a lot today, and that is my children's ages are just too varied. And it's a challenge to have a 7-year-old and a 13-year-old in the same home because their interests are so different. We have some friends who have children that are different like that. And what they've done is they have their devotions together a couple days, But the rest of the time, they have them at different times for the different children.
Hmm. So they have more than one devotional session?
Yeah, usually the wife in this family gives a devotional to the younger child herself, and the father and the mother do it for the older child later on.
And then they do it for themselves.
That's
you know,
right.
Sometimes the devotions that parents want to be involved in are different from parent and teenager.
I can remember when I was growing up in my own home, there were six kids. And with six kids, your ages are varied. And it just was plain good discipline to not be selfish if it wasn't interesting to you and to realize today was for the younger kids and learn to give a little bit. It's great training on the spot.
What's number five?
Number five is we tried it before and failed a dozen times. Yeah. I don't know of a family except unless the father and mother are extremely personally disciplined in everything they do. Like if you open the top drawer, you know, their undershirts are ironed. That hasn't had a problem with the issue of restarts. I think that is normal experience. I think that the spiritual life is starting all over every day, forgetting the failures of yesterday and starting all over. And again, it is a false expectation. I think, Jim, that a lot of times couples have a number of false expectations. And so they say to themselves, you know, family devotions is an easy skill to develop. Well, I don't even have to train for it. I can just go do it, and it will happen. It will work. I'll have wonderful family devotions, and it doesn't work. And they say, well, we've tried it.
In other words, you've got to put something into it. You've got to prepare.
You've got to prepare a little bit and be willing to have some downers at various times. Yeah. I think another expectation parents have is it's going to be simple to have family devotions in our busy schedule.
You're going to have to commit yourself to it and hang to that commitment.
Oh, boy, that's really true. You have to hang in it. So I think the issue about we tried it before and failed a dozen times is really a snow job. Hmm. It shows a lack of commitment. You know, I remember the first time I played tennis. I couldn't hit the ball back. And yet I didn't try six times and say, I can't play tennis because I've tried it a dozen times and can't hit the ball over. Yet you find a parent's commitment to golf or tennis or some TV is deeper than it is to developing godly children.
What's item number six?
Item number six is I don't know the Bible well enough to have family devotions. We think to be a good parent, I have to know it all. Jim, I can remember when I was growing up hearing the pastor of our church preaching, you must have family devotions. And then as an adult, I've heard many times people from the pulpit saying, you must have family devotions in all of my life. In all of my life, I've never heard one person tell me how to have family devotions. I went through 5 years of undergraduate college, Bible college. Not one course was how to have personal devotions or family devotions. Then through 4 years of graduate school, not one comment really given on it, more than in passing. And therefore, no one's taught anyone about how to have family devotions. We all think it is an innate skill that you have. And yet if you're to ask the average parent, do you have family devotions? It is, no, I don't.
And we'll be back to the program right after this.
It's been said that values are not taught to children. They're caught by them. Children absorb what their mothers and fathers believe by watching them in everyday situations.
Dr. James Dobson with Family Talk.
Dr. Kevin Lehman relates the story of Manuel Pacheco, who was the first Hispanic to be appointed president of the University of Arizona. One of 12 children, Pacheco grew up in extreme poverty on a small farm in New Mexico that his father had managed to purchase. According to Pacheco, we didn't even get electricity in the house until 1954. But what was lacking in money was made up for in love and in values training that would later help Manuel succeed. He relates, "My mother and I ran a dairy by ourselves from the time I was 7 years old. I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get the cows, milk them, and then get ready for school. The expectation was that it didn't matter what we were going to do. If we were going to do it, we needed to do it well." Pacheco then went on to finance his own college education with part-time jobs. We can all learn something about teaching values from the Pacheco family. Most importantly, they have to be modeled early. Every day, we as parents are influencing our boys and girls just by the way we approach our lives. Why? because those little eyes are watching us.
You can find more Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson at myfamilytalk.com.
And now back to the program. Here's our host, Dr. James Dobson.
You said that you thought family devotions were really out of style and that there weren't very many people that do it at all, much less do it well.
No, people, if they ever talk about it, even in their Sunday school class, do it sheepishly, like, I don't know what you're going to think of me if I tell you that I had family devotions. And yet, instead of giving it honor and dignity and a place of respect in the church and in the Sunday school, it is not discussed. It is left alone.
And yet we all feel guilty about it.
I think we ought to feel guilty. You know, I think guilt should be when we break a command or a principle of Scripture. And when Scripture says to train up your child and to teach them diligently, I think we ought to feel guilty.
For not doing it.
For not doing it.
And yet, if we feel guilt, let's resolve the guilt. Let's find a way to do it better. And that's what you had in mind with this little Family Walk booklet. You produce one of these booklets every month. Tell me what's in it again.
What we've tried to do, Jim, is to try and give to a parent a tool, even if the parent couldn't tell you the name of the first book in the Bible, that they could pick it up, even if their children had never been to church before, and that they can begin to teach the child the biblical values, the biblical character, how to build a godly young child with a tool that can work. That at the end of it, when you say, how did you like that? The child says, you know, I think that was great. Can we read tomorrow's today?
So you have written interesting stories, moral plays that relate to everyday life, and then provided the Scripture that backs it up, and then discussion material for every day. You got a unique approach to every single day.
That's really true. It's an old secret I learned from a professor who was profound almost every day he touched my life. And I studied his method of teaching, and I found out the reason he was profound is he touched my felt need every day.
Hmm.
I was never bored in his class. That man didn't understand the word boredom. And I finally realized if that's the key to a child not being bored is that his felt need is touched every day. Then we began scouring what on earth are their felt needs, and let's give them a story that they could say, oh, yeah, that happened yesterday.
This gets around putting a four-year-old in a chair and begin reading the King James Bible to him, as noble as that is, and he should hear certain portions of Scripture from the King James Bible. But to put him through that every day in a lengthy adult setting is to make him hate the whole process of devoting himself to God.
That's right. You know, I was over in Israel leading a trip, and we took our people to an Israeli folk dance that night. And we watched the Jewish people celebrate in a way that I've never seen Protestants ever celebrate. I saw men dance and sing. I remember I'd snuck out the week before to the Wailing Wall right before the Sabbath. And the men, there were no women there. It was all men. They're all dressed in black. And I snuck up on the side of the hill underneath some weeds, literally laying down, watching this. And these men got down there, and then later on some men in some suits came, and they grabbed arms, and they went around, and they sang, and they danced. And I said to myself, I am so envious. We don't have a way to celebrate. Church is so staid, so formal, so unexpressive so many times. And having been through Bible college and graduate school at a great seminary, I know the importance of knowledge. But I wanted to see a life change in my kids. Therefore, instead of being knowledge-oriented, it is value-oriented. And so we take a value for each week, like the value of obedience or kindness or justice. And we try to teach the children through 6 days the value of, let's say, justice. And every day has three parts to it, Jim. We've spent a year and a half working on this to think through how do you really teach a value. You don't really teach it, do you? You catch it from somebody who's got it. So we said, let's take a theme, let's say justice, and get the different parts of it. And then on each day, let's build it around three movements. The first thing is a modern day life story, which pictures the problem that a child could identify with. Second, a Bible story, which is the same problem, so they could see the Bible has relevancy to my life. And the third part is a concluding principle. For instance, when we came to justice, one of the questions was, what am I supposed to do when I see someone else being treated unfairly? You know, when do you and I ever sit down and tell that to our kids? We don't ever take time to teach them values. We just correct them when they don't show the right one. So we started out with a modern-day story that happened in Atlanta. One of the guys on the high school football team wasn't learning the plays. The coach blew up and said, listen, young man, I'm going to teach you a lesson you'll never forget. He called all the football team over and said, let's teach dummy here a lesson. Made him put his hands on his head, called the biggest linebacker over, said, get over the end of the field, and you run as fast as you head, put your head down, and charge this guy in the stomach 10 times, and he'll get it. We ended that story with, what should the lineman do? Which really centers upon, you know, what are you supposed to do when you see somebody else being treated unfairly? Then we move to the second part, which is trying to show the family that the Bible really has an answer to life's problems. If you'd ask the average child, do you think that the Bible has an answer for that football story? They'd say, of course not. Football's not in the Bible. But the principle is. So we tell the story of Saul, David, and Jonathan. When Jonathan saw his dad, Saul, mistreating David and what Jonathan did. And it's identical. And we bring it in there where we say something like, and to find the answer of what Jonathan did, turn to 1 Samuel. So it forces the family to read the Bible. And then it goes to the last part where we bring the modern-day story and the biblical principle together and give it some more information and encouragement. And then we ended the day with, if you were the lineman, what would you have done? And I'll never forget looking at my son David, the 10-year-old, and said, David, what would you have done? He said, I wouldn't have done it. I said, Dave, what happens if your coach would have said, and young man, if you don't do it, you're off the team. And boy, you talk about a discussion about values.
All right, Bruce, I want you to end in a different way. I would like you to pray for the families that have had difficulty at this area and feel guilt over it and want to do it better and feel this heavy responsibility. Maybe they have younger children and they see adolescents coming and they know they're not ready for it. Those values are not inculcated. The children don't know the word. And they feel they failed in this area miserably, and they don't know what to do about it. Would you say a prayer on behalf of the millions of families, if we were really honest, and maybe some of them pretty close to home, who are in that situation today?
Sure, Jim. Why don't we pray? Father in heaven, you've been with us in this program today because we've been talking about you, we've been talking about your word, and we've been talking about being obedient to it. And Lord, how prone we are to wander from that which you really are committed to. You're committed to bringing people and the Word of God together because those are the only two things that last forever. And how each one of us have failed so many times. And yet your forgiveness is far greater, God, than our failures. So we confess our weaknesses. We confess our lack of commitment. And we now enjoy forgiveness. At the same time, Father, you teach us to make the next step, and that is to commit your ways, to make a commitment of life. And together we would, right now, commit ourselves to you for the next month, to give it 110% of our effort and of our heart and of our soul and of our spirit, to start anew, to start all over with you. Give us strength, and we know we can count on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Bruce. You must get out this way every now and then, and when you do, there's an open door. Come on by and let's talk some more.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, I know I have learned so much during these 2 days of broadcasts, offering all of us the practical tools we need to have effective family devotions. We've been listening to a conversation between Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Bruce Wilkinson on Family Talk today. I'm Ryan Dobson, and before we go, don't forget this is the final week to take advantage of the opportunity I mentioned at the top of the program. For every gift we receive over the next 6 days, we'll say thank you for your donation by sending you not only the copy of my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, in which he shares all the secrets to build a marriage that not only lasts, but thrives, and let me tell you, he knows what he's talking about. This year, he and my mom will have been married for 55 straight years, and they adore each other. So you'll get the book and the DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. Donate by clicking the link at the top of our page, drjamesdobson.org, or by calling 877-732-6825. Coming up next time, in our postmodern world, hopelessness reigns and teenagers continue to search for the meaning of their lives in the wrong places. That's why, next time on Family Talk, Dr. James Dobson interviews Donovan and Nicole Northcote on how to reach lost teenagers. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi everyone, Dr. Meg Meeker here. Are you on the go without much time to log into all of your social media pages? Twitter is a great way for staying informed on the things that matter to you with just a quick look at your phone. Follow Dr. James Dobson, FT, and receive great tips, resources, and information that is important to you in short and simple tweets. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson, capital F, capital T.